Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. To say the brain massage show is thought-provoking is like saying the hydrogen bomb makes a lot of noise. Both true and both way understated. Stay tuned. Your brain is about to get a massage. Devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Now, I've got a problem today. The Senate is likely to vote this evening or perhaps tomorrow morning on the issues I'm addressing in my show. So I don't have the advantage of knowing how they decided. And of course, that's on the impeachment trial. But I have to produce my show and get it out there, and I've got to address this. So we're going to see how closely I call it, okay? The cliffhanger impeachment trial, outcome expectations and sequel predictions. Hypothetically speaking, the Senate pose the following question to the House managers. If Mitt Romney had a son involved in a corrupt foreign company that was under investigation for their corruption, and Romney had interfered, using U.S. aid as leverage to bully that foreign power to fire the prosecutor, would he impeach Obama if he encouraged that foreign power to look into this suspicious activity? Now, that whole thing was set up, but anyway. Listen today for how Schiff's answer indicts Obama with almost every sentence. Anyway, in what way could the Chief Justice have a significant influence in the outcome? I don't think I'm going to get to that, so let me just explain quickly. Normally, the Vice President would be called in to cast the deciding vote if the Senate was split 50-50. In the case of impeachment, however, the Chief Justice serves that role. The latest bombshell dropped by Democrats from the Bolton memoirs. Another dud. Hillary threatens another run. No kidding. Says she's getting the urge. Well, thanks for the warning. Coronavirus. A closer look. Pestilence and prophecy. China's president calls this virus a demon. Speaking of devils, Trump's pushing back against the rise of Antichrist. Fascinating insight into the relationship between Trump's presidency and the biblical prophecies regarding both the present activity of the spirit of Antichrist and the rise of Antichrist in the world. My friend, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
The impeachment trial cliffhanger. Will the Senate vote to side with Democrats' efforts to extend this farce another 2 months or more? And further confuse the constitutional roles of the House and the Senate? What will it mean if the Senate caves to Democrat demands? Trump defense team member Patrick Philbin makes an important observation. And by the way, Philbin clerked for Justice Clarence Thomas and has the bona fides, as would be expected for someone who would present himself an expert on this subject. He testified that if the Senate caves in to Schiff and company, it will have established a dangerous precedent. It will allow for a partisan-controlled House to do slipshod investigations, as per the present example, repeatedly, and then end up just busying the Senate with never-ending distraction. It turns the Senate into the investigative committee of the House. And that's not the Senate's role in impeachment, my friend. The Senate sits as a sort of jury and weighs the case presented to it by the Congress and then presents the sentence on the verdict. Now, Philbin is right. If the Senate does not put a check on the Congress and establish a firm precedent of rejecting such an obviously slipshod and totally partisan effort to undo the results of an election, well, that body will be liable to being controlled by the House. You know, Waters is already threatening to send another impeachment to the Senate if that body refuses to kowtow to the House partisan demands. Now, this has just got to stop. All right, so what happens if the Senate does go forward with a call for witnesses and dredging Bolton's yet unreleased book for new evidence? That's their new evidence. The conservatives are going to demand witnesses for Trump be allowed to testify in order to be fair and balanced, and there will be demands for Hunter Biden to be called up. Now, I'll tell you personally, I think the Biden corruption issue scandal should be resolved through the Justice Department. It's a criminal proceeding. However, if the Democrats succeed at pushing the Senate around, contrary to precedent in past impeachment trials, and good sense, by the way, well then, in order to present a proper defense for the president, the Biden issue is going to have to be explored. And that's going to require Hunter Biden's testimony and other corroborating witnesses. Of course, the Dems will object, saying, well, his father is a candidate for the office of president, and it would be spun as an effort to interfere with the upcoming election. That's the way these guys operate. Truth be told, everything the Democrats are doing is an effort to interfere and to meddle with the upcoming presidential election, or to use the government to interfere and meddle with the upcoming election. The impeachment of Trump is the campaign strategy of Democrats in 2020. And it's an illegitimate strategy. But really, running for office does not provide automatic immunity from scrutiny. In fact, it heightens scrutiny, doesn't it? And scrutiny is about all the Senate could do with the matter anyway. Nevertheless, if the Democrats push this charade farther, the Senate will have no choice, in fairness, but to allow Trump's defense to present justification for Trump's concern about Biden corruption. Unless the Dems succeed at destroying yet another cherished American ideal in justice, and that is the idea that deference must be given to the defense in order to ensure the best possible protection is afforded to the rule that the accused is innocent until proven guilty. But we're losing all of that in the Democratic Party. I mean, they're not even American anymore. They think like communists. So what is my prediction? Earlier this week, there was concern that four Republicans would side with Schiff and submit the Senate to his demands that that body be tasked to clean up the mess the House made with their shoddy impeachment investigation and to serve his political agenda, really to keep this impeachment process going as long as possible, which intends to further the Democrats' campaign agenda to influence the upcoming 2020 election, as I pointed out. The Republicans, the rhinos, that were sending mixed signals about their intentions were Pat Toomey and Rob Portman. And both of those guys are Soros shills, by the way. And then Mitt Romney, whose nose is still hurting over his loss to Obama and Trump's win later. And then Maine's Susan Collins and Alaska's Lisa Murkowski. These were the ones we were concerned about. Now, you can pretty well count on the Soros boys to side with the Democrats. So concern was over whether two more of the other rhinos would fall in with them. And that'd be Romney and Collins, who both have suggested a willingness to vote with the Democrats, by the way. But lately, they've walked back those statements. And I understand that Lisa Murkowski has also decided she will not vote to extend this farce. That's good news. Now, Trump's team has made a clear and compelling case for the fact that Congress has no case, and they have sufficient access to the Bolton statements to know the Dems are doing the same thing with these so-called Bolton bombshells that they've been doing throughout this whole impeachment process. Oh, we've got irrefutable proof. Oh, we've got, you know, we've got the goods. And this has just been going on ad nauseum. And once again, they're spinning nothing into allegations that have no real substance and that do not rise to the bar of impeachable offenses, which the Constitution sets at matters equivalent to the seriousness of bribery and treason. So the latest scuttlebutt that I've picked up is that the three wafflers, the rhinos, have come out against extending the witch hunt. And instead, they've decided to vote to disperse the hanging mob and deprive them of the head they hoped to tie into their noose. Now, it's obvious that the Democrats in the House want to impeach President Trump on the vicious charge that they don't approve of his policies or the way he conducts his office. At least that's the surface concern. Look a little more deeply. The heart of their concern is that key high-level Democrats have done or are actually doing the very things they are accusing Trump of doing. It's a major deflection game, my friends, in which the primary concern is to keep attention riveted on Trump and off the swamp creatures that he threatens. And they want to tie the Senate up so they cannot approve any more of Trump's appointments to the courts. It's a big concern on that side. And at the same time, they want to cast enough muck on Trump so they can dampen the enthusiasm of his base and strengthen the resistance of Democrats from being seduced into siding with Trump because of the great economy. I forgot who said it. It might have been Levin or Rush or somebody brilliantly observed that the Democrat strategy has been from the beginning to not allow President Trump to be president. Everything they've done and that they're doing serves in one way or the other to deprive Trump of the freedom to exercise the powers of his office, to further the agenda of the American people who put him in office. And it's the most remarkable thing I've ever seen, how well Trump has been able to move his agenda forward against all odds. I mean, he's done, as Bongino put it, Trump Middle East peace proposal. But I'd love to get into that. I will in a later show. It's an interesting modification of the two-state solution. And it's actually gaining support from both sides. Wow. More on that later. Democrats impeach Trump. Trump signs a new USMCA trade deal, getting things done for the American worker. Democrats impeach Trump. Trump, economic growth, setting new standards for future reference. Democrats impeach Trump. Trump, historically low unemployment. Democrats impeach Trump. Way to go, Bongino. Certainly, Trump has pushed the agenda of the spirit of Antichrist back decades. He has strengthened religious liberty, strengthened the sanctity of life, the first American president ever to attend the March for Life and speak, and I mean eloquently, in favor of life, and oh my soul, the economy. And believe me, this is a huge problem for Dem Dems. Buttigieg and Elizabeth, you know, I'll let a transgendered child choose the next head of education if elected. And then crime boss Biden, and whoever else is still running on the left, claims that the economy is helping only the one percenters. Really? Well, take a look at the numbers. The fact is, unemployment is down to a historic low of 3.5%. Which, by the way, is virtually full employment in the United States. This creates competition for labor, which is, in fact, driving wages up. Generally, and that is overall, wages have increased by 3.7%. But get this, the poor are getting richer in the Trump economy, and their wages are rising more aggressively than any other sector, 4.7%. In other words, the poor are experiencing a greater percentage of wage increase than anyone else in the economy. Anyway, I think the Senate is going to reject Schiff's effort to subordinate that august body to the Democrats' Trump hatred derangement and will act coolly and judiciously. I believe the Senate will vote against calling for the witnesses, and then it will vote to acquit Trump. The sequel to this bad movie is going to be Democrats screaming about partisan vote in the Senate, which is just unreal. I mean, considering the partisanship of the House, that the Republicans are shills for Trump. Well, who's Schiff a shill for? Soros, maybe, or Obama, or Hillary? Whining about the unfairness of the proceeding. And like I said, they're going to scream and cry and whine, accusing others of doing what they did and what they do. But we the people must not allow them to get away with this any longer. Election 2020, baby. That's our turn. Hold on to the break. I'll be right back.
God's War: Why Christians Should Rule the World. A shocking statement to many, but our founders didn't think so. John Jay believed Christians should prefer believers to rule our nation. Because Jesus is the King, and all mankind are subject to his crown. Our founding fathers understood this and acknowledged Christ as King. Satan once boasted all the kingdoms of the world were his, but no longer. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he broke the power of Satan over this world and cast the prince of this world out. When Jesus rose from the grave, he declared, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Jesus sent his Spirit into the world, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But where the spirit of Antichrist is, there is tyranny. The spirit of Jesus Christ is greater than the spirit of Antichrist. Now, you can learn how to unleash the power of Christ into the world to defeat the spirit of Antichrist. Learn how you can defend liberty through the authority of Jesus Christ. Free the world from the spirit of tyranny. Get God's War: Why Christians Should Rule the World today. Go to www.books@dbp.com. The battle for America is on. Jesus sent his Spirit into the world, and the Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Satan is the spirit of Antichrist, the end-time tyrant that will rule the world with death. America is divided between those who follow the spirit of liberty and those who follow the spirit of tyranny. The spirit of Jesus Christ or the spirit of Antichrist? Which will it be? Election 2020 will decide whether America continues as one nation under God or falls fully into the power of the spirit of tyranny.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singing the enemies on the march, and enemy that would steal from us our liberties. What about the latest Bolton bomb the liberals have thrown into the Senate trial? Another demonstration of how desperate are these demons that control the Democrats these days. You know how devils react when the spirit of Christ gets near. They start tearing at their hosts and making them stab themselves and cut themselves. They drive their hosts stark raving mad. They lose reason and become like rabid dogs. More on this Sunday night, by the way, at the Lighthouse. The Bible talks about unreasonable and wicked men. Whew, unreasonable. Here's what they do. You read a headline that says, quote, Trump told Bolton to help his Ukraine pressure campaign, book says, end quote, New York Times. And a new Bolton revelation ties Trump to Giuliani's early efforts in Ukraine, end quote. Good night. WAPO. And then, quote, Bolton revelations could change calculus on impeachment, end quote. And that's MSNBC. And then this one, impeachment trial, day six. Bolton revelations fuel fresh calls for witnesses, end quote, CBS. And then MSNBC confesses it does not believe this is going to, produce any kind of smoking gun thing. And yet, as I hear the whine under their opine, the hope is it will hurt Trump with the electorate, that it will hurt Republicans in election 2020, which goes to my oft-repeated statement that this impeachment ruse is all about interfering with the upcoming election or using the government to interfere with the upcoming election. So now, we read Bolton's actual statement in the yet unreleased book, and essentially, all it comes down to is that he reveals Trump wanted Bolton to further plans to arrange a meeting with the Ukrainian president and Giuliani, that he desired that Ukraine would be pressured to take serious action against corruption in their country, including the corrupt Biden connection to the corrupt Burisma Corporation. Well, that's it, my friends. Anybody who thinks that Trump believes he needs some kind of super help to overcome a Biden campaign is delusional. And once again, what you're reading the headlines and hear from fake news and their leads is one thing. But when you read the transcript, it's entirely a different thing. It comes down to the simple fact that those who hate Trump and who are threatened by his success hear anything like this through a disgruntificator. Now, all you Rush devotees know what this is. It allows someone to reformat an EIB webpage. It's a term that Rush invented. I can't go into it, but I'm retasking the tool here as it's used by Dems to reformat any story into a message advancing their agenda. You know, someone should tell Rush that the Dems have stolen his proprietary invention to their wicked uses. I really wish I had time to play with that a little longer. That'll be fun. The unreasonable and wicked Dems disqualificate these Bolton statements into support for their effort to paint Trump as attempting to defeat Biden by getting Ukraine to investigate him. Although the Democrats approached Ukraine to investigate Trump. Yeah, but because they paid for it, it's not the same thing. Unbelievable. These people are out of their ever-loving minds. Although the Democrats asked our own DOJ to spy on then-candidate Trump and on Carter Page. And on it goes. Even though the Democrats used a dossier paid for by the Clinton campaign and fabricated by a Trump-hating ex-British spy full of outrageous lies about Trump to launch the original investigation, used it to launch the original investigation, even though these people are wicked. I'm telling you, we are dealing with devil-level evil here, my friend. For example, watch this snake. His name is Adam Schiff. The Senate presented a hypothetical to the House managers. If Mitt Romney had a son involved in a corrupt foreign company, which company was under investigation for corruption, and Romney had interfered, using U.S. aid as a leverage to bully that foreign power to fire the prosecutor, would it have been considered grounds to impeach Obama if Obama encouraged that foreign power to investigate these allegations? Well, Schiff took the question, and his response actually indicts Obama with almost every sentence. Here's a gist of Adams' response. First, it's wrong for any president to withhold military aid to an ally. Really? Obama refused to give Ukraine the military aid Congress approved. He sent blankets and food boxes instead. Second, to target political opponents, to task the Justice Department to investigate political rivals, taints any investigation that follows, said Schiff. Well, Obama tasked the Justice Department to spy on Trump, his political rival. You say, well, that hasn't been proved yet. Well, none of the junk that the Democrats have alleged has been proved yet. Okay. Third, I believe that is what happened. Third, Schiff said you don't ask foreign powers to investigate your political rival. Well, Democratic members of the House on three occasions requested Ukraine to investigate Trump. Or was it two occasions? Well, one occasion is enough. And then fourth, it's wrong to use the DOJ, Department of Justice, to influence an election for your benefit. Well, that's what Obama, Hillary, Brennan, and company conspired to do. Oh, and on the matter of intruding in foreign elections, remember? Obama sent money to fund the campaign against Netanyahu in Israel. And finally, Schiff says, in effect, it's wrong for presidents to solicit a foreign power to help him cheat. Well, Mr. Schiff, we agree. And that's why Obama, Biden, Hillary, and the rest of that wolf pack, including you, should be tried for treason. And thinking about treason, don't forget Benghazi. I received this from radio listeners Tom and Nancy. Thank you. The poem is in a memorial to the brave SEALs who died defending Stevens in that attack. You know, the one that Obama referred to as a bump in the road. A retired Navy SEAL read this poem on a Fox News segment during an interview. It's titled The Battling Boys of Benghazi, and it goes like this. We're the battling boys of Benghazi. No fame, no glory, no paparazzi. Just a fiery death in a blazing hell, defending our country we love so well. It wasn't our job, but we answered the call, fought to the consulate, and scaled the wall. We pulled 20 countrymen from the jaws of fate, led them to safety, and stood at the gate. Just the two of us, and foes by the score, but we stood fast to bar the door. Three calls for reinforcement, but all were denied. So we fought, and we fought, and we fought till we died. We gave our all for our Uncle Sam, but Barack and Hillary didn't give a... Just two dead SEALs who carried the load. No thanks to us, we're just bumps in the road. Okay, I'll need to move toward a conclusion for today's show. I had intended to offer some fuller insight into the China coronavirus. Yeah, I think I do. At least to give you a summary of my notes on this. Two scriptures come to mind, by the way, as I think about the show today. One, that evil men will wax worse and worse as we near the end. And the Democrats give us daily proof of that. I mean, the level of open, brazen evil coming out of the Democrat Party today is certainly testimony to the truth of that. And Jesus warned us that nation would rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and that along with these troubles, there would be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. Matthew 24:7. Now, caution, my friends, Jesus did not say these things portend the end. What he said was that these things are the beginning of sorrows. The warning is that these things would go on, plaguing mankind as they had up to that time all the way to the end. Nevertheless, every time earthquakes shake us and pestilence afflicts us, we remember how they verify the truthfulness of Christ's words. China's president calls the virus a demon. I found that interesting. I did not know Xi Jinping believed in devils. Probably an emotional term for him, expressing his feeling of helplessness against this disease that is afflicting China. Coronavirus is actually not the name of this new virus. They have not given it a common name yet, so far as I know. Wait a minute, let me see here. Oh, okay. Yeah, commonly it's being called the Wuhan pneumonia or Wuhan coronavirus. So until they settle on a formal name, they call it novel 2019-nCoV. Yeah, and novel is a placeholder here. It merely means it's the latest or that is a new virus. Now, the Chinese don't like identifying the virus with a city in China. That's the problem here. A coronavirus refers to a virus that afflicts mammals and birds, humans being mammals. Some of these particular viruses will transmit from animal to human. SARS is one of those. Remember that one? Back in 2002-2003, SARS infected over 8,000, killed 774 people, in 17 countries before it was kind of dissipated. And most of these were in China. And by the way, it originated in China. Yeah, the second known coronavirus outbreak to originate in China and spread all over, killing people everywhere. So far, over 10,000 cases of this coronavirus have been admitted and over 200 fatalities. Some, however, claim these numbers are being skewed by China. Estimates are that as many as 78,800 have been infected as of January 25 in the Chinese city of Wuhan alone. And it is believed there are a great many more deaths. So how did this new respiratory disease get started? In Wuhan province in China, someone contracted the virus, they believe, from a bat. Yeah, they eat bats in China. Interestingly, the SARS epidemic also started in China and also originated with the transmission of the disease from a bat to human. Now, it is hoped this coronavirus can be stopped in the same way SARS was. However, there are some important differences between these. First, people can infect others with this virus several days, I understand, before they even know they have it, before symptoms manifest. Ooh, that's bad. That creates a problem. The SARS epidemic was much more easily contained because people infected would not infect others until they manifested symptoms. That made it easier to identify people with the disease and then isolate them from the population. The spread was much more easily controlled. The good news is that this disease does not seem to be as certainly the killer that SARS was. People overcame SARS as well, but this one is not as aggressive that way. It's killing people, though, and any hope for a vaccine is years off. And its deadliness might be understated by China right now. We're going to need to pray for God to intervene. It's strange, isn't it, though? The two of the seven coronaviruses that we know about originated in China and both came from bats. Bats from hell. Communist, Christ-hating Xi Jinping thinks so. He said the virus is a demon virus. One Wuhan Chinese citizen blasted the government's response, saying they're not being truthful. He said, quote, "We are really helpless. Not all of us are brainwashed. We, too, want to live an open life of democracy, freedom," end quote. And I thought that was kind of interesting. How often that kind of thing comes up, how citizens in oppressed regimes take whatever opportunity they can to send a message to the West, to Americans particularly. We want freedom, too. The oppression of communism. I'll have to address the latest discoveries Veritas has made of the Marxist-Leninist leanings of Bernie and his campaign staff. I mean, they're planning violence, friend, after the model of the communist takeover in China. And they're saying stuff like, you know, once we get rid of the landlords, we won't have to kill them. Yeah, stuff like that. I'm telling you, my friend, election 2020 is a battle for our liberty. Sunday night, I'm going to speak to the truth that Trump is pushing back against the rise of Antichrist in America. Fascinating insight into the relationship between Trump's presidency and biblical prophecies regarding the presence of the spirit of Antichrist and Satan's agenda for America and the world. Be there, or a savage would say, be square. Remember that old saying? I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now you let me know you see they're on. Call 1-805-314-2114 and leave a message for me in our listener response hotline, or go to our website, brainmassage.net. Brainmassage.net. Find the contact button. Send me an email. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
The battle for America is on. The spirit of Antichrist has risen in our land against the spirit of Jesus Christ. What side are you on? Election 2020. Choose wisely. Your next brain massage is scheduled for Saturday at 12 noon and Sunday at 7 a.m.